I'm going to pray in just a minute, but I wanted to just share a couple of things. Can you remember when we first started on this journey and for the letter to the Romans? And I can remember months before we started when I was praying and thinking through pretty formidable challenge. And I thought, boy, are we going to be able to do that? Romans, powerful, powerful book, but it's been a good journey. It has been a good journey. I might tell you, in preparing and finishing things up for the last couple of weeks, I've been listening. It's this little guy in Western Illinois. Not much to look at. He pastors a small church. It was an old Methodist church, and now it's a fellowship church. And I've been listening to his messages. I went back online, and I'm listening to those messages. And you know that little old guy? He's done a pretty good job. You understand where I'm coming from with that? Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what God calls us for. That's one of my greatest encouragements in hearing someone preach. It's like it doesn't always have to be bells and alarms going off and all this fantastic and all these tear-jerking stories. You know what God calls us to do? To faithfully teach and preach His Word. By faith, to accept that challenge to the best of our ability to say what God would have us to say. And I think I've done that. Of course, I haven't done it perfectly, but I've done it well, and I thank God for that. And just pray that God can bring those things deeply into our lives. And I have to admit, this last message, I thought, Lord, help me not preach a dud. Try to think of a more eloquent way to put that, but help us, Lord, to go out with a bang, not a fizzle. And I'm not talking about making anything melodramatic or anything that's not there, but just that we have this great appreciation. Paul ends this letter with a doxology, with praise and worship to God. And I would hope that we could have this final message today and we would have those same thoughts of praise and worship to God. And we would allow the richness of this teaching in God's Word in this ancient letter to the Romans, written about 2,000 years ago and yet still powerful and impactful in our lives today. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you speak to our hearts. We thank you for this journey, Lord, the challenge of the letter to the Romans. What amazing theology we learn. What truth we learn about you. Really, Lord, we see, as Isaiah the prophet declared, that your ways and thoughts are higher than our ways and thoughts, as the heavens are above the earth. And in this teaching, we see that. We see your gospel, Father. We see your righteousness, and we see our sin and the death that came from that sin. And in that, Lord, we see your powerful, powerful salvation. We see your redemption. We see your gospel. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you believe God's thoughts about God or your thoughts about God? Do I believe God's thoughts about God or my thoughts about God? You see, too often we bring God's promises. Peter calls them in 2 Peter, first chapter, he calls them great and precious promises. But you see, too often we bring these great and precious promises down to our world, down to where we can understand things, where life makes sense to us. Even though God tells us that His ways and thoughts are above our ways and thoughts, as the heavens are higher than the earth. And as we remove the context of God's thoughts from as the heavens are higher than the earth. We downgrade the truth of God to the realm of mere humans. Thus, no matter what we call it, we no longer have the truth of God. Doesn't matter if we go to a Bible study. Doesn't matter if we tote a big black Bible to church with us and go to that church service every Sunday. If we're not receiving God's thoughts as God's truth, if we've whittled it down to where we can understand it, where it's manageable, it is no longer God's truth. Why is this important? Well, because we need to know whose truth we are obeying, don't we? We're all about obedience. Oh, obey God's truth. Well, let's make sure that it's God's truth we're obeying. Because to truly obey God, we must be obeying God's thoughts about God, not our thoughts about God. So how do we do this? Well, I'm glad you asked. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 16? Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now, a little bit of a textual note here. Some of your Bibles have a verse 24. If you do, unless it's King James, you probably have brackets around that. What they believe has happened is that the blessing at the end of verse 20 has been brought and it's been stated again. And the better manuscripts do not have that. Now, some would make this an article of contention. Oh, we're taking God's word out. No, that's not what they've done. That's not what they've done. Don't say that. What they've done is they've tried to make their best decision, just like with every translation that has ever been made, they make textual decisions. So in your Bibles, I'd say NIV probably has it in brackets or parentheses. Is that right, Shirley? Yep. NASB has it in brackets, okay? It's not challenging. It's not taking away anything. It's just saying that to the best of our ability, that verse is there. It's the same that's in the end of verse 20. So we're going to begin today in verse 25. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To that God, to the only wise God, be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. How do we do this? How do we make sure that we're hearing God? We're hearing and we're holding to God's thoughts about God and not our own. Well, first of all, we need to be gospel powered. We need to be gospel powered. You'll see first in your outline there, power. The gospel is the power of God. It's what it tells us there. It says, now to him who is able to strengthen you or to establish you. And I actually, ESV has strengthen. I like establish better, but really what is best is when we combine them, because that really gives the idea. I'm going to read from the inside of your study sheet on this Greek word, sterizo. And it says, in this context, it refers to being mentally settled, firmly rooted in the truth of the gospel. Through the gospel, God is able to establish the minds and hearts of believers in the truth, to settle us, ground us, and make us firm in him. Continuing there in that note, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, whenever and by whomever it is rightly proclaimed, God will take a fallen, corrupted, vacillating, drifting, insecure, uncertain, chaotic mind and doomed soul and establish it forever in his truth by the power of his Spirit. And then the third part of that note, William Newell, the Greek word translated establish includes not only a knowledge of the truth and a settled persuasion in Christ of that truth, but also obedience in the power of the Spirit to the truth. This is to settle us. This is to, what this is, as we could picture it, this is to bring us down, and I love this concept, and to bring us down to what is our bedrock? What is our bedrock? Now, let me give you a dictionary definition of bedrock. Unbroken solid rock overlaid in most places by soil and rock fragments. Bottom layer, lowest stratum. Any firm foundation or basis or the fundamental principles of a teaching or belief. You might have all the loose stuff on top. You might have broken rock on top. You might have sand. You might have soil. Depending on the area that you're in, but with varying places, the layers you have on top, but the very first, second gravel pit I worked in, we had bedrock, and under that bedrock was coal, and we had to dynamite the bedrock. But you could dig everything, but you couldn't dig bedrock. Rock solid. Have any of you taking a sledgehammer and have a big granite stone and hit that granite stone with a sledgehammer? Anybody? It doesn't go anywhere, let me tell you. Solid. We say, well, it says here, now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel. Now what Paul is saying there is he doesn't have some version of the gospel. It's the gospel that he tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that it's the gospel that was given to him. He tells us in Galatians it was the gospel that Christ set him aside. Christ himself gave him that gospel. He clarifies that. He says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ. And so I thought, well, first of all, well, we're going to look in a little bit about we preach Christ crucified, but it says God who strengthens us, God who establishes us through the gospel, God who makes sure that we know where our bedrock is. Because we could say literally, all hell could break loose, but the believer in Jesus Christ is not going anywhere, because our bedrock is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. That gives us power. That gives us perspective. Now to him who is able to establish you in the gospel, who is able to strengthen you in the gospel, we come back down to what is the gospel? It is the forgiveness of sin. We just come right down and we just peel away everything else. Take everything else away. How does God strengthen me and establish me by the gospel? Come down to my bedrock. Jesus Christ died for my sins. I have believed in him for the forgiveness of sin and have received his gift of eternal life. Bedrock truth. Will I mess up sometimes pretty badly along the way? Yes, I will, but it doesn't affect the bedrock. I could be digging with an excavator. I could be digging with a loader. You might dig in the wrong area. You might dig too deep. You might dig over there, and you should have dug over there, and you kind of turned things up, but you didn't affect the bedrock. Who's our rock? Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. This is strength. This is life. This is the breath of God in our life to strengthen us. He says, now to him who is able to strengthen and establish you. Folks, let God bring the settledness of his divine nature. Peter talks about that too in his letter. That God bringing his divinity to us. Let him establish us. Let him settle us. It says, to my gospel, which again, Paul's not some variant truth. It's the gospel that we are familiar with and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Well, let's get back to this bedrock thing, if you could. Let's just go back. Well, yeah. Let's go back first to Romans 1:16. Let's go back first to Romans 1:16. We see this powerful theme. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. See, now to him who is able to strengthen us, to establish us by the gospel. So that shouldn't be a surprise, is it? Because what is the gospel? The power of God to everyone who believes. For in it, God's righteousness is revealed. Now, we're going to look a little in just a little bit more of this mystery. But God has this great plan that started, this providential plan, this sovereign plan that started before the creation of this world. And we need to have that perspective. That if you've trusted in Christ, you didn't do that in a vacuum. You're not alone, isolated somewhere. You are part of the grand and glorious plan of God's redemption. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:23. 1 Corinthians 1:23. See, we come back to these things because these truths are attacked. And things that people try to take away things from Jesus Christ, take away his deity, take away the necessity for his life-giving sacrifice, for his death on the cross. But here's where we are. Here's where we get our vitality, where we get our strength, where we get our energy. Chapter 1, verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. Faith Fellowship Church, Dave Scott, we preach Christ crucified. Jumping down to verse 4, 24. But to those who, let me just go ahead and read the rest of 23 because that doesn't make sense. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, who is that? Anybody here in this room? Come on, let me see a hand or two. To those who are called. See, that's who we are. See, God tells us, called of God, that's who we are. Not just a missionary or not just a pastor or not. We are called. To those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, what? The power of God. Back again to the Romans. Now to him who is able to strengthen, to establish us by the gospel. So this shouldn't surprise us. What is the gospel? And by the preaching of Jesus Christ. What is that? It's the gospel. It's the power of God. No surprise there. It's our bedrock. Can never be taken. Our bedrock can never be moved. And the wisdom of God. And we're told in other places that we're made the righteousness of God. Pretty cool stuff, huh? 1 Corinthians 15. Back to this, we preach the gospel, we're strengthened. Our bedrock is the gospel. Our bedrock is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. I guess I ought to turn there myself. I thought I did. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you. This is the gospel in Romans 16, Paul saying my gospel. The gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, because it is an ongoing process. We're brought to God. It's an ongoing process, his sanctification. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ, what? Died for our sins. That's our bedrock. That's our strength. That's where God establishes us. What did it say here? He settles our mind. Mentally settled. Firmly rooted in the truth of the gospel. We can have, and we've had them, an issue, and it's like, wow, that's complicated. Boy, that's hard to interpret. No complications here. We sin. We need a Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised, and on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. God said it was going to happen. And let's just move into that then next in our Romans there in chapter 16. To him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. Now let me help you, because you read all those next phrases, and Paul, he'll tend to do that. He'll put all those together, and you got to stop, and you got to kind of break it down, sometimes even outline it. But I've done that for us because so we can understand. On the inside of your study sheet, there in the middle, it says, "Now to God be glory forevermore." So we see God who strengthens us by the gospel, which is the preaching of Jesus Christ, which is the ancient plan of God revealed. Okay? Which is now, see, this is what a mystery is. A mystery in Scripture is something that you can be, you could be the Sherlock Holmes of Bible study, but you could not find that truth, you could not solve that mystery until God revealed it to you. That's what a mystery in Scripture is. And we hear the voices of the prophets, sometimes very cryptic. And we've talked about in Genesis, you know, the seed that would come, and this seed would battle that seed. And we have, so we hear those little echoes from the past. And then we have passages like in Ephesians 1, and it talked about these things even starting before the foundation of the world. But at just the right time. Well, can we just turn there to Romans 5:8? That wasn't included, but let's just, it's just right there. It just says it. Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. At just that right time. See, this whole big plan, you coming to Christ, whenever, wherever that was, hopefully you have done that. If you haven't done that, you need to do it today. You need to do it right now. But if you haven't done that, you need to do it. If you have, this is what this is speaking of. And he came to this earth at just the right time. And he came to us at just the right time. It's the ancient plan of God revealed, which you are a part of, which has now been made clear by the prophets. The Old Testament prophets, and many of the commentators believe, and I would tend to agree with them, that it's speaking of the New Testament prophets too. Prophets as in the apostles who were speaking God's word and recording God's word, writing it down. Now it's been clearly revealed. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the payment for sins, which has been commanded by the eternal God. See, this whole thing has been watched over. The great superintendent, you might say. God's providence, all of these things that have happened, all things in world history, things in our history, all of these things, God set this all in motion. We need to understand the providence, the timing on the study sheet. I've got timing. I changed that to providence. It's good for alliteration because I got power, providence, and purpose. But it also states it better because timing is only part of providence. But and then let me finish that, which has been commanded by the eternal God, which has all been carried out to bring our faith to obedience. And that's what it begins in Romans 1:5. If you'd like to turn there, Romans 1:5, it talks about through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. And then we've got that here in verse 24, or 26 rather, to bring about the obedience of faith. So we see that we are to be gospel powered. Okay, we have, I will try not to embarrass her too much. She can tell me later at dinner. But we have a Chinese friend. You may know her. Her cure for everything is drink more tea. If you're discouraged, drink more tea. If you've got a headache, drink more tea. If you've seen my big fat Greek wedding, what was his cure all? Windex. Yeah. You got a cut, spray Windex on it. Just something up, spray Windex on it. And So, and how can I dispute, you know, the 5,000 years or so of Chinese history, and they've probably been saying it for ages, drink more tea. Well, here, for what ails us, have more gospel. Can't have too much gospel. It's got a shelf life of forever. Your world's getting turned upside down. You're getting gouged by life. You come back to, I am a blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ. Have more gospel. I am God's child. Have more gospel. God has forgiven my sins in spite of the accusations of Satan. We don't listen to him. We listen to God. Have more gospel. Let me share another William Hendrickson, not William Hendrickson, that's another really good commentator, William Newell, inside These Happy Creatures. Are you a happy creature? You should be a happy creature. Maybe you'll understand more when I read this. He said, God had a sovereign purpose to take certain creatures, that's us, into his own glory, to share in that glory. These happy creatures were not to be taken from among the elect angels, holy, blessed being that these are. It was not given to angels, seraphim, or cherubim, but to blood-bought sinners as members of Christ. Life is kicking you in the teeth. Have more gospel. Get down to bedrock. Everything's taken away. Well, it hasn't been. Your bedrock will never be taken away. Have more gospel. Let the gospel have its strengthening, establishing work. What did we read there that the gospel would take? Fallen, corrupted, vacillating, drifting, insecure, uncertain, chaotic mind, and doomed soul, and establish it forever on the bedrock. That's what God does. Find hope in a despairing world. That's what God gives us. Unbelievable promises. God's thoughts about God, he's got them. Live forever. Are you kidding me? Forgiveness of sins. Transformed into these amazingly beautiful and powerful spiritual beings. What does God tell us? Power, the providence of God, the purpose, is to bring about obedience. And this isn't rote obedience. This isn't obedience because I've got to make sure God's not upset with me. This is obedient. This obedience in its purest form, it's finally clicking between the, right up here where we're kind of dull sometimes. It's finally clicking. That we believe God to be as great and glorious as what he tells us he is in Scripture. You follow what I'm saying? See, that is the backdrop that we need to receive God's truth as God's truth. Is we need to see a God high and lifted up and holy and great and glorious. And it just melts away the dross. It melts away the dross. And we're not saying, do I have to do that? We're saying, God, what can I do next? That this great battle of our will and God's will, when we see God great and glorious, we see this great redemption plan, this mystery revealed. We see the things that it's like you go to your bank account and somebody put $5 million in there. If anybody wants to do that, it's okay with me. You're like, wow, God, you did that? Yes, he puts Christ's righteousness to our account. This holy being, the consuming fire, who before in our sinfulness, if he reached out to us, it would be agony and torture and judgment. Now it is infinite love and peace and joy and acceptance in the embrace of a holy God, the consuming fire. when we start believing that God, we don't say, do I have to do that? We say, what can I do next? Well, verse 27, Paul says, well, to that God, to the only wise God, be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. To that God. Is that the God you're listening to? He'll melt away our stupidity when we see him, that backdrop, a great and glorious God. He'll melt away our sinfulness, and we'll just get amazed again and again, Lord, how could I do that? How could I let my mind go there? How could I say that? How could I? And he comes, have some more gospel, have some more forgiveness of sin. And we're amazed. And we worship him. Are you following a great and glorious God? Do you believe he's giving you? Do you believe you're going to live forever? Do you really believe that? See, when we see a great and glorious God telling us that. Have you ever had someone tell you something and they were really nice, maybe it was a relative, maybe it was your child or a neighbor or whatever, and they had these ideas and you really wanted to believe them, but it's like you knew they couldn't really pull that off. They didn't have the resources, the ability. We don't look at God like that, do we? Is he great enough? Is he good enough? Is he truthful enough in his word to do every single thing that he promises? To him, to that God, be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Amen. I love you folks. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this teaching over the last year, over a year. Out of a wheelchair, missing work for 6 weeks, studying through these tremendous biblical truths, thank you for speaking to our hearts, and thank you for speaking to our hearts today. Father, I pray that if there's any here that hasn't had any gospel yet, that they would realize this great and precious promise, this great and precious gift held out to them, forgiveness of sin, that they could stand on the highest mountaintop and declare, through Jesus Christ, through redemption, forgiveness of sins through his blood, I am right with God. We pray that for every person here today. We pray that for this world. In Jesus' name, amen. If you turn to 593, where he leads, and we're going to sing verses 1 and 3. 593, where he leads. If you've listened to some other gospel, if you've listened to the gospel of, well, if I go to church often enough, I'll be okay. That's not the gospel. If you've listened to the gospel, well, how many times do we hear, well, I try really hard to be good. I try really hard to do the right thing. That's not the gospel. That's not God's thought. It's not bedrock. It'll be washed away. The flood, the rain, the torrent of God's judgment, it'll be washed away. Would you talk to me? Would you talk to me? One of the guys on our board, Steve or Merv, Chuck, Gerald, he's not here today. I'm going to be talking to him about church attendance too, by the way. Don't want to have to take you off the list, Gerald. We miss them, don't we? Back to more serious. So if you're counting on anything else in the gospel, you bring God's thoughts down and you say, I got my Bible under my arm and this is what I think. Well, it's not the gospel. It's not bedrock. You need bedrock. But when you got bedrock, you've got it forever. God, you in God's hand forever. Bedrock. Nothing will wash it away. sing verses 1 and 3. Would you stand with me if you can? I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior. He's always calling us to His glory. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where He leads me, followed Him to the cross of Jesus Christ. Would you do that this morning? Bedrock, that's what we're after. I'll go with Him all the way. He will give me grace and glory. Yes, He will. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory, and go with me, all the way, where He leads. You come to Jesus Christ, He's, the Lord is your shepherd. He will lead you from that point on to forever with His Father in heaven. I will follow. I'll go with Him all. One more time on that chorus. Let's just do it without the instruments, okay? Just a cappella. Where He leads me, I will follow. Family of God.